Hello there.
Get it out for it.
We've come to ask you some questions.
Mm-hmm.
We've been watching you with some interest for some time, and we don't quite understand what we see, and we don't quite understand you.
Mm-hmm.
This kind lady has said that it's okay for us. She's brought us here to speak with you.
May I ask you why you've been observing me for some time?
We like the way your mind works.
Right.
We like the way you reason. We enjoy this quality about you. We do not see it as much on the earth. It is something that we have developed here, this capability for clear and rational thought.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you are unusual, and we want to understand this better.
So, could you state more specifically why you feel I'm unusual?
Because you are able to logically reason on any number of topics.
Mm-hmm.
It seems on any topic you can logically reason. And while that may not sound so unusual, we do not see that in people on the earth. Many people are capable of reasoning
in certain areas or fields.
Yes.
Yes.
But to have the clarity, we see in you a clarity, a clearness of thought that we do not observe in others, even those who have very what we would call accomplished minds who think very much.
Mm-hmm.
There is not the same clarity. If we could describe it, it is like we see pathways that move in the mind of your spirit body. There is movement along these pathways. It is unimpeded by anything. It is clear, light and direct.
Mm-hmm.
We do not see this in others.
Mm-hmm.
We are fascinated, because this has taken us time to develop. It has taken us many years in spirit to develop this.
How many years have you been in spirit?
200.
200, yeah.
Thereabouts, 200.
Yeah. And many of your friends have been similar times or longer?
Similar, some up to 500.
Mm-hmm.
The person here with us who we have given much respect to, who is regarded as the brilliant one, has only been here in the spirit world for 50 years, and he has attained this level of mental clarity that for many of us has taken hundreds of years to develop.
Right. Yep.
We are all men.
Yep.
We'd find
that. Do you know where you currently reside in the spirit world at this point?
What do you mean?
Well, the spirit world is made up of dimensional spaces, and many of the spirits in the higher spheres call them spheres, or rather than dimensions. But the dimensional spaces are separated by boundaries of love. So
we have not been aware of this, but
right.
Rachel, this woman, tells us that we reside at the top of the first sphere.
Yes, yep, gotcha.
This does not have much significance for us.
Yes.
Although we understand from what you were saying that perhaps we should pay some interest in this.
Yes,
we
certainly
have been aware of developing, that there has been growth,
mm-hmm.
and that we are achieving clarity of thought.
Mm-hmm.
This is our desire, to understand things well, to have an equal approach to all things. It is like a form of integrity.
Yes.
To be able to reason rationally and logically, and this is our desire to live. Now that we understand that we continue to live,
yeah,
we desire to mainly develop this quality of integrity within us.
Yep.
And we understand that this clear and rational thought on any subject is what enables this.
Right, yes. I think it's one of the things that enables integrity. I don't think it's the only thing, though, that enables integrity.
Well, we feel if we are able to examine any issue from the point of view of justice, the logical, to use logical reasoning to understand what would be the most just response in any situation,
mm-hmm.
then we are able to have integrity to ideals of honesty, for example. Or
and I suppose what I'm suggesting is that's part of integrity, but it's not a full story of integrity, I feel.
What would you call the full story of integrity?
Well, when you notice people on earth when they're reasoning, quite often their emotions get in their way, don't they? Like, you notice how a person who has some racial sort of issues with other people on earth, quite often their logic deserts them when the racial issue arises. Other people, when they have sexual issues, quite often their logic deserts them when the sexual issue arises, and so forth.
Yes, mm. And we see that for yourself, this is almost unique to you,
mm-hmm.
that on any range of issues you maintain this logical thought, mm-hmm. and this is what we aspire to. And do you not agree that if one has this logical, rational thought on any topic, they are able to maintain integrity?
Well, I feel it's one aspect of integrity, but I don't feel it's the only way to maintain integrity. I feel one of the main ways of maintaining integrity is to remove from oneself the emotions that drive a lack of integrity. So I feel for many people on earth, they hold on to the emotions that drive a lack of integrity. So they hold on to emotional addictions, for example, that cause them to actually intellectually reason in a flawed manner. So if I give you an example, perhaps, so a man who's a cigarette smoker, for example, may pride himself with some personal integrity in many areas of his life. He may pride himself that he looks after himself and looks after his body. But because he has the addiction to cigarette smoking, which he's been told many times, and also there's much proof exists on the planet at present that it's dangerous to his health, he will reason with himself all sorts of reasoning to allow him to continue smoking, when logic, rational thought would dictate that he wouldn't continue smoking anymore.
Yes, this we are in agreement, but...
And what I'm suggesting to you is that he has an emotional reason for actually distorting his logic.
What we feel is that if one can master rational thought, this transcends any emotion.
Well, that is what I would feel is the slowest way to handle rational thought. The other way, you could look at it, if you look at it again in a rational way, if emotions are driving much of the irrational thought, it would make sense that if I removed the emotion or the addiction that drove the irrational thought, then rational thought would automatically be present without me having to do anything else. So that's the approach I've taken with regard to rational thought. So does that make sense to you? So what I'm basically suggesting is coming at it from another angle. The angle you're coming at it is from a purely intellectual angle, which is basically trying to get your intellect to dominate the irrationality that's in your emotional state. And what I'm suggesting is a faster way is actually to remove the irrationality in the emotional state, and then the rational thought will be present automatically. That's how I've approached my development.
So you were saying that this clarity of thought is not a thing you have developed?
It's not a thing that I have purposefully developed as a focus. It is something that comes about because of my ability to see my own irrational emotional state and to allow myself to feel through that state and remove the emotions to get to a point where rational thought is I'm capable of rational thought on any subject.
So inherent in your statement,
mm-hmm.
you are saying that there are rational emotions. You said if I identify...
Definitely rational emotions, and there are irrational emotions.
How we do not understand this.
Well, let me put forward some rational emotions and compare them with some irrational emotions. Right?
Yes.
I feel, for example, an emotion of love is a rational emotion. So it's a feeling of warmth and care for another human being or another, you know, creation or another thing that exists in nature. And so it's a rational thing to care for another person or another or things in nature, because there are obviously things that it's going to give you back as well. But it's actually an emotion that comes out of you. And you will see these emotions as colours coming out of people at times. So
yes, we are aware of the emotions. However, yeah.
So I'd call that I'd call that a rational emotion. But can I compare that with an irrational one?
Certainly.
An irrational emotion would be an addiction. So, for example, the feeling that I, or the thing that I described earlier with the man that's smoking, he irrationally picks up the cigarette, and you can see coming from him at the time is another colour, another feeling or emotion coming towards the cigarette, that the cigarette will give him a certain sense of satisfaction that he cannot gain from any other place. And that's an irrational emotion. And irrational emotions damage us, and rational emotions improve us. So in other words, if we have feelings of love, they can improve us. If we have feelings of, like, unloving emotions towards our own body, which is what the smoker has at the time he picks up his cigarette, then that's going to degrade him. So irrational emotions degrade us, rational emotions improve us.
But how must one identify what is a rational emotion or an irrational emotion if not by means of the intellect?
Well, the intellect is only one way of determining a rational emotion. There is another, and I feel much faster way, that involves God to determine rational emotions and therefore help develop rational thought. But I understand that you know, we need to raise this discussion about awareness of God or God's existence in this discussion, because that's the approach I take. So if you're asking me why I do things a certain way, it's because of this feeling that I have with God, where God basically tells me through interaction which one of my thoughts are, or which in particular which one of my emotions are irrational and therefore need to be released, the emotions that harm me that need to be released, and also which emotions are rational, which ones actually make sense. So, for example, I don't believe that an emotion of fear is a rational emotion. I have fear in me at the moment that I need to release, and once I release it, I will be completely capable of rational thought on particular areas that I'm currently not capable of rational thought if I don't release this fear.
So you must explain then this idea of the involvement of God.
Well, I suppose the first thing we need to really discuss is whether there is the potentiality of God existing. Now, again, I feel rational thought will bring us to a conclusion that there is a potentiality of God's existence, but perhaps not the God that religious thought dominates on the planet and tells us what God is. So, for example, if I can give you some examples of that, it makes no sense that the God of the religions on the planet, they claim, is an angry God who is going to punish the wicked, because the reality is that the wicked do not seem to get punished while they're on the earth, and also many of them don't seem to get punished while they're in the spirit world, as you've probably become aware. There are certain emotions that people who are so-called wicked experience, but it doesn't seem to be the direct result of an angry God punishing them. So the God of the Bible, for example, which is talking about an angry God who exacts and demands devotion, is not true, because through the operation of the universe we can see that such a God doesn't actually exist. But that doesn't mean God doesn't exist. It just means God as defined by the religious people at the time doesn't exist.
To us it would seem that if God exists, he would be a very rational being.
I agree.
And this very emotional idea or emotive idea of God that exists upon the earth was never attractive to any of us.
Yes, but because on the earth they present an emotive view of God without presenting any rational viewpoint about how God is. Whereas I believe you can have both. You can have emotions about God that are completely rational. Like I said, there are some emotions that are completely rational, other emotions that are irrational. And there are thoughts that are rational, and there are thoughts that are irrational. And I believe that with God, all of God's thoughts are rational, and all of God's emotions are rational too. And when we attempt to connect to a God who is irrational, then we're not going to attempt, we won't be connecting to the God that actually exists. We will be attempting to connect to God that, a God that is a figment of our own imagination. And this is where I feel is a major problem with religion on the planet.
Mm. Yes, and we observe this amongst some religious people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We observe pointlessness and a lack of connection.
Mm-hmm. But when you observe some people, you will notice that when they have a desire for God's love to enter them, and it has to be something that is a pure desire, a feeling that they have that is without any irrationality, in other words, without any addiction, when they have a feeling for God that is without addiction, a feeling for God that is not about God coming to save them from their own creations or about God trying, you know, coming to help them out when they'd never called on God ever before in their life or any of those kind of things, but rather just a feeling for God that comes from their heart, you will notice there seems to be a brightening of their body that occurs in that instant. And I don't know if you've studied this very much, but if you do, you will notice this, that there's a brightening of their body that occurs in that particular instant when they have this pure, what I feel is a rational emotion with regard to their relationship with God. Does that make sense? You'll have potentially observed this if you've been there. I know many don't observe it after hundreds of years because they haven't really studied people that are religious.
This is the case for us.
Yep.
And this is what is unusual about our attraction to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, to be fair, the majority of religious people we observed was while we were upon the earth.
Yes.
And we were repelled largely because of the lack of rationality.
Yes.
And we are aware that you spend the majority of your time and effort speaking about God.
Mm-hmm.
And without the desire to offend you,
mm-hmm.
honestly, we have listened to little of this subject matter because it does not interest us.
I agree. Yes.
We have simply observed you in many day-to-day instances, in practical terms,
mm-hmm.
and you think rationally,
mm-hmm.
more rationally than we have observed in most others.
Mm-hmm.
There are some we see who are capable of rationality, but they're...
But only in certain directions.
Well, yes, in the scope of their life is small.
Mm-hmm.
We see yours expanding, rather than becoming smaller and smaller, as we observe many rational thinkers seem to create a very insular, small life where they are rational about this certain area.
Yes.
And they are able to be rational about their day-to-day living, but it seems very insular also.
And they're not expanding, they're contracting.
Yes.
And this is where some irrational emotions are driving their so-called rational thinking.
Yes, and there is we have much interest in this idea of the idea of a rational emotion is very appealing.
Mm. Mm.
However, our general consensus has been that emotion is not trustworthy and we do not feel much changed on this.
But it's interesting
idea.
You say that because there's a Bible verse that actually says that the heart is treacherous and who can know it. And so in some ways you believe some of the same things that some of the religious people on the planet believe about emotion. And there are many people on the planet who, including religious people, who do not believe emotion is rational. However, I feel that many times they make those statements without understanding what's really going on from an emotional perspective. The key, I think, to focus on if you're looking at whether emotion is rational or irrational is to examine the addiction that is involved and whether the addiction is self-destructive. So when you notice from the spirit world a person involved in a particular addiction, you can see that their spirit body degrades in its condition. They get more fissures and cracks in their spirit body as they engage their irrational emotion in an addictive manner. And as that occurs, obviously their condition is degrading. If you examine their condition of integrity, you'll also notice their condition of integrity degrades. Mm-hmm. So as they engage their irrational addiction, their condition of integrity on that particular addiction degrades, and they become less and less less and less involved in the process of being able to even determine whether their addiction is rational or not. So in other words, they become less and less aware that their addiction is driving more and more of their life and more of their life choices. Right.
Now, that's what I was. Discernment. This is the word.
That's it. Yeah, they don't have any discernment. In fact, discernment deserts them, and that occurs because they've engaged an irrational emotion rather than seeing that it's present and releasing it from themselves. They've engaged the irrational emotion, and they now live by it, and as a result of living by it, degrade their own condition.
Of course, we have observed many people like this,
mm-hmm.
but we have thought that they are simply weak intellectually, mm. and this is what allows the emotions to run riot in their lives. If they had a stronger rational focus intellect in their life, then that would disallow such things from happening. So
the question I need to ask you then, has it disallowed such things from happening in your own lives?
To some degree, yes. To a large degree, we have lived.
But it's only to some degree, isn't it? Can you feel within yourself there is still sometimes a tendency towards irrational thought?
Yes, but this is why we've, in our lives on earth, we did not master the rational thought that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
But as we have developed more rational thought upon entry here,
mm-hmm.
Our conditions surrounding us have improved. We did not realize there was spheres mm-hmm. that we should progress through, but our lives generally have improved. Our relations with others have improved. And so we see that our theory is proven in a way that
mm-hmm.
the rational thought has assisted us to have dominance over the emotional state. We understand a little more from your discourse about irrational emotion versus rational emotion.
Can I just state to you, though, right now you're being irrational?
How so?
Well, because I understand the perspective that you have, even before you've explained it. I've understood the perspective you have. And you've come to ask me particular questions, but now you're trying to convince me that the way you've been doing it is the most correct way of doing something, but that's irrational to state that to a person who believes there's a different way of doing it.
I apologize.
Do you understand?
I apologize. It is just that
I understand where you're coming from. I do. Can I make a statement that will help you? Firstly, I am not saying to you that what you have been doing will not work, because it will work. However, it will work very slowly. And this is why it will take hundreds of years for many of you to actually get to the point where you begin to have rational thought. I know other people who have progressed very rapidly into rational thought within a few years, one or two earth years, in fact. And what I'm suggesting to you is that there is a different way of approaching progress than what you've been approaching, how you've been approaching it. How you've been approaching it has been very much dominated by what you allowed yourself to understand while you're on earth and after you've passed into the spirit world. You've selected a form of progress which has been proven to you that works, but only over a slow and laborious period of time that has occurred. Would you not agree
mm-hmm,
with that?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
Now, I can bring to you other people who have progressed much more rapidly, but they have had to, they've had a different focus than you. Their focus has been very much not focused on the dominance of the intellect over the emotion, but rather the removal of emotions that are out of harmony with God or out of harmony with God's love. Right? So mm-hmm. they have had a focus which is very, very different to your focus. And I'm not saying that your focus will not work. What I'm saying is that this other focus works far more rapidly.
So how would we go about doing such a thing? How would we change our tactic?
Well, the tactics of, if you can call them that, of this second way of progression, so let's call it the process of the second way of progression, is much more involving three primary dominant things that I've been speaking about here on Earth, and interestingly that you've been ignoring most of the time I've been speaking about them. This is, if I can use a bit of reasoning, though, to help you with these particular three things. Firstly, if there is a God, and I'm not stating at this point that you must believe there is, I'm just saying that if there is, it would make sense that since love exists in humankind, and love is obviously very apparent when you get to even the location that you currently are in, top of the first dimension, you can see that there is love apparent in much of the design, right?
Yes.
And so therefore, this would tend to indicate that if there is a God, then the God would be a loving God.
Yes.
The second thing that that we need to ask ourselves about God is that if there is a God, it would make sense that God is a rational, logical being that knows all truth. In fact, we could say, if there is a God, that God is the owner of all absolute truth.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
This seems very rational.
So that these two statements are rational statements.
Yes.
If there is a God, then it would make sense that God is a God of love and a God of truth.
Yes.
Now, when I existed on the earth before, in the first century, what I decided to do was to experiment with these particular two aspects of what I thought was rational thinking. The first one was to experiment with the idea and concept that God is a God of love and that God has the emotion of love, not just the thought of love, but rather an emotion that guides all of God's actions and all of God's creations and all of God's laws and even guides the framework of the universe. So I made this one assumption, and then what I tried to do is experiment with that assumption. So this is what I would encourage you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in experimenting with this assumption, I realised that if love is an emotion, then I have to have an emotion in order to feel the emotion of love. So, and then I reasoned with myself about what emotion within me would attract the emotion of love from God. And then I realised if I looked around myself and looked at what was happening on the earth, I could see that the emotion that attracts the emotion of love from other people was generally an emotion of love or desire given to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if I had a desire to experience love from Mary, then what would attract Mary to give me love would for me to actually have a desire for her love to come from her,
mm-hmm.
and for me to express this desire to her, you know, that this is how I feel about her, and this is how I'd love that she would be able to feel about myself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So in realizing that, I realized that if there was a God, that through this interaction of love that I observed occurring on the earth, God was actually teaching me something, and that was that I could actually desire God's love to enter me, and I would have to be willing to experience the emotion of desire for that love and any other emotion that love as it enters me might trigger within me. Does that make sense? So I started to see myself as not a physical human being, but rather as a soul, a container, who was attached to bodies, a physical body and a spirit one. And once I started seeing myself like this, I started recognizing that actually my soul was a container of emotions and beliefs and thoughts and even rational thinking and things like that. It was just like a container. If I had any irrational emotion inside of me and I tried to lock it up inside of myself, then that would prevent the flow of any rational emotion, bearing in mind that emotion is just energy, feelings in motion. So I started to realize that I needed to allow emotion if I was going to experiment with this particular rational idea that I had about God. Once I did that, I realized that I could develop within myself a desire or longing for God's love, a feeling of wanting to experience God's love, and then I could measure the potential results of that to see whether I actually did receive God's love or not. So that is the basis of all of my desire. And then once I experimented with that desire, I found every time I had a desire which came from my heart, which was an emotion directed towards God to receive God's love, then I would receive love from outside of myself, from a person that I could only recognize as God. Now, it might have been somebody else at the beginning when I started feeling this, but in time I felt quite sure that even that would be exposed to me if in time it worked out that it would be God that was giving me these particular emotions. So I just trusted that particular experience, if that makes sense. Does it make sense so far?
It does. We have some questions, but please proceed and we can ask them when you finish.
Also, I realized that if God does exist, and this is another feeling that I had about God in terms of a characteristic about God, I realized that if God does exist and God was the knower of all truth, in other words, the owner of absolute truth, then a loving God would want to give me some of that truth. It would be like a loving parent who wants to share with its child the truth of its own existence.
Yes.
And so what I realized was that as I started receiving this love, I then also had the ability to receive truth in the same manner. And in fact, the love flowing from God would help me determine what was truth and what was not. In other words, if the love flowed from God, then it meant that I was in a truthful state. If the love did not flow from God, then it meant I was in an untruthful state. So it was a very, very simple way for me to even discover truth.
So this is a measure of the rationality of your thought,
mm-hmm.
whether you receive a feeling.
That's correct.
From God.
So if I receive a feeling from God when I have the thought that I believe is rational, then that told me that the feeling that I was receiving from God would tell me whether the thought was rational or not. And in fact, whenever I received the feeling of love from God, I had to be in a rational place of thought. In other words, what happened was I realized that every single time I was receiving love from God, I also was having rational thoughts about whatever it is, the universe around me, God, relationship with God, my own soul, my relationship with my soulmate, and other particular aspects of truth that I've since discovered.
So, in fact, you have developed your intellect by not using your intellect at all.
Exactly. Which is a fascinating concept.
Yes.
Hmm. I had to use my intellect at the beginning because I had to come to some rational concepts of God before I began these experiments. You could liken it to a person experimenting about any particular physical thing on earth. They have to come up with a theory that is rational that they then would do some experiments to prove whether the theory was true or not. Does that make sense? And what I did was instead of focusing on theories about the universe, I decided that if there was a God, it would make more sense for me to connect to God than to go through my own discovery process with every other thing on the planet. Because God would be, in my rational thought, told me that God would be the knower of all truth. And if God is the knower of the truth, and if God is the loving God that I suspected God would be, then it would make sense that he or she would want to share such truth with me. So it felt rational to me to focus all of my energy on determining the truth about God first, rather than trying to determine the truth about what was around me.
So now perhaps you can help us.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, there is a feeling of fear
mm-hmm.
surrounding what you have said, and I am embarrassed to admit that I cannot intellectually understand why.
Well, I can explain to you why. There has long been concepts of God on the earth that are based around God being a punishing God who will somehow punish or hurt the wicked in such a way that's eternal. In other words, if I have not recognized the existence of God, you know, there are many religions on earth that teach if I have not recognized the existence of God during my life on earth, then I'll be consigned forever to some kind of eternal torment. And this is a problem when it comes to rationality about God. Because what it does is as soon as we start sort of discussing God as a potential real being, instantly all of these earth-based teachings, which many of us and most of us have heard throughout our life here on earth, come foremost into our mind. And then we're worried that we'll get into trouble somehow.
Mm.
Does that make sense? And if God is a rational God, you would already be in trouble.
Yes.
Right. So but any trouble you have experienced up until this point has already been a result of the resistance towards the concept that there's a rational God. You're not going to get into any more trouble. You can't get into any more trouble than you already are in.
Yes.
In other words.
Yes, we see the logic of this.
Mm.
However,
mm-hmm.
there is a feeling
mm-hmm.
of how can we trust? How can we trust the feelings?
Well, remember I didn't say that we need to trust all the feelings. Remember I said we need to allow all the feelings to release them, but we need to trust the feelings when we get a confirmation of love from God. They are the ones we trust.
How do we trust this from God? What do we know from God? We don't know from God.
Well, that's okay. Let me describe the process further. The third step in the process that I was talking about before, remember the first two steps were this idea or concept about God's love and being able to receive it into your soul. The second concept was this concept about God's truth and that God's love would tell me what is true and what is false. The third concept that is a really important concept in this process is the concept of humility. Humility is the ability to feel and experience all of your emotions, whether they are rational or irrational, whether they are rational or irrational, to still feel them.
But if we feel the irrational...
Let me finish, though.
I see, sorry.
You don't act upon the ones that are irrational. You just feel them.
But how do we discern what is irrational if we do not use our intellect?
Well, let me give you an idea of this process.
Yes.
At the moment, you feel the emotion of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You're confused about what was causing your fear.
Yes.
However, I suggest to you that once you allowed yourself to feel your fear, you would know what is causing it. Then you wouldn't have to ask yourself the question of what is causing it. So, for example, if we can use this as an example to experiment with now.
Yes.
If all of you, for a moment, just allow yourself to go back to the fear that you feel, let your body shake, right? Let yourself have the what seems to be irrational response, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let it happen without acting upon it. In other words, without trying to take an action to avoid it, or without trying to take an action to explain it, or without trying to take an action to avoid it.
Yes.
So let yourself explore the fear, in other words, by feeling it. Do you follow me?
Yes.
So now if you just allow yourself to do that, you allow yourself to go back. So my statements that triggered your fear was the statement that there was the potential of a God of love that exists, and there was if that God of love exists, then it would know, that being would know all truth. And those two statements caused fear in you. Let yourself feel the fear so that you can determine where it comes from. So what do you notice when you let yourself feel it? You let yourself, your body will shake. You'll find actually there's this greyish colour that starts coming out of your body if you allow yourself to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you allow yourself to feel your fear, you'll start seeing this greyish colour emanating from your body.
Yes, and I know that I'm afraid. I'm afraid of my father's punishment if I am to become emotional.
Spot on. Now, can you see how this relates to God?
In that God is the father figure?
Yes. Can you see when I make some statements about God, you then automatically, because you had an emotion associated with your own father who was probably punishing, yes, while he was on earth with you?
He was strict.
Man. He was strict. He was strict disciplinarian, yes?
Yes.
And this, whenever you got out of line just a little bit, what did he do?
Disciplined us.
Well, you call it discipline. I call it treating you violently. He physically harmed you, which is an act of violence. If an adult did it, they would call it assault. Your father assaulted you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
From a logical perspective, again, my reasoning is not flawed, is it?
No, but often he did not beat us.
Hmm?
He may have, when we were small...
Which caused you to be in so much fear that...
No, he did not beat us when we were small.
Uh-huh.
He may have...
threatened such action.
No, he may have slapped us or
mm-hmm.
or belted us, but as we grew, this was not necessary. It was...
Of course, because you're already in line by now.
Yes, but he had some harsh or disapproving emotions.
Can I point out that already you're defending your father, which is not a rational thing to do? The rational thing to do would be to look at if an adult come up and slapped you, what would that be called? So on the planet today, that would be called assault.
Yes.
He could potentially go to jail for such things if he repeated such actions.
Yes.
But when you're a child, when your father slaps you, what is it called?
Discipline.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I see there is an inconsistency.
There's an inconsistency and therefore a flaw.
But again, one question leads to another question to another
question. But if we can allow this particular train of reasoning to continue.
Okay.
What I'm saying to you is because your father was like that, you became to fear him.
Yes.
As a result of fearing him, you feared anybody in authority. Now, I've just said to you that God is the position, if God does exist, that God has ultimate authority.
Yes.
So naturally, you're going to assume, through this emotional interaction with your father, you're going to assume that God will be like your father. Nothing could be further from the truth. But it is going to be an assumption you make based on an irrational emotion that exists within you, based on what happened to you when you were young.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Now, can I continue it,
okay,
though?
Yes.
I know you've got the questions. If we can just continue just one more step, though. One more step would take us then. If I release the emotion about my father, and I release this fear that I have about my father and how he treated me when I was young,
mm-hmm.
I will be capable of seeing God differently. Not as a punishing, wrathful being, potentially, that I need to fear, but rather as someone different. It's actually my relationship with my father that prevents me from seeing the truth about God. And
yes.
It's the emotion of fear in me that remains within me that prevents me from actually acknowledging the truth.
Yes, I understand now your reasoning, mm-hmm. Yes.
So what questions do you have?
No, I think it is clear now.
Mm-hmm.
It is the emotion...
Can I point out, just before you proceed, notice that up until I made that final conclusion, you weren't clear rationally, and you wanted to ask many questions.
Yes.
But you notice that if you allow the conclusion to be made, all the questions sort of just almost disappear. because you can start to feel the relationship between the emotion and what's really going on. You see, many times we're asking lots and lots of questions, feeding the fear, rather than actually just feeling the fear and allowing the conclusion, which would actually allay the fear anyway.
Yes, it seems that there is less less intellectual work that one must do in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, from what you have just recounted, is that it is the emotion that clouds the clarity in the intellectual thought.
Yes.
And that the dominance of the intellectual thought over the emotion can be quite futile or laborious.
Very laborious. You'll eventually achieve it after many hundreds of years of effort.
But it seems there must be a disconnection from the emotion.
Exactly.
In that latter process.
Which would also suggest that the emotion still exists within you.
If you are in a state of disconnection with yourself.
Exactly. If you consider the soul as a container full of thoughts and emotions, it would make sense that if you distance yourself from an emotion, the container is not able to release the emotion. It's still contained within the emotion. You're not pouring it out on the ground or anything like that. It's still within the soul. So therefore, it still must have some kind of control over your decision-making process.
Even if we labour to regain the control.
Exactly.
It is the clarity. This is the clarity that we see in you. This is clear now. Yes.
Even if we labour to regain control intellectually, because the emotion is still within us, we'll always be labouring to regain control. Once the emotion has been released from us, then there is no labour.
Mm.
All labour ceases. You are automatically more reasonable.
And this is how you achieve the ease in your thinking.
Correct.
I see.
Correct. And if I may suggest, you can observe it. In my mind, you will notice, as you mentioned right at the beginning of our discussion, there is clear pathways of thought.
Yes.
Now, if you observe others, you will notice there will be a pathway of thought, and then all of a sudden it's like it hits a barrier or a blockage.
Yes, this is what we were referring to in the beginning, and exactly. This person must find a new route around the blockage.
I'm suggesting to you the blockage, the thought-based blockage, is created by an emotion in the soul that inhibits the brain's development in that particular area, that it does not allow a direct pathway to pass through. As a result of that, what happens is that pathways have to be negotiated, and to do that you have to basically rewire your thought patterns. That is going to take a lot of effort. What I'm suggesting to you is if you remove the emotion, the blockage that causes the break in the thought pattern is no longer present.
Mm.
Therefore, the thought is able to have a direct route, and you do not need to reprogram the mind and how it works by moving around that particular belief system.
Yes.
And this is what you're noticing in the pathways of most people, is that you notice they have a clear thought to a degree, then there's a blockage. You haven't been understanding why the blockage exists. All you've been understanding is that you need to reroute the pathway so that the blockage no longer actually has an effect on the thought.
Yes, and this is now very clear, thank you, why you're... thought patterns appear to us as quite unique and expansive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the more I release emotion, the less blockages there are to the clarity of thought. And as a result of that, my thinking will become more and more direct, more and more focused, more and more able to pick out what is logical and therefore what is rational.
Mm. And so, in summary for ourselves, it would be to now give focus to these emotional issues, these emotions that reside in us, and notice them and feel them without action, which should help us to attain a higher clarity of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are also... not ignoring this other discourse you had surrounding the existence of God and the experimentation which is possible with the existence of God, in that we may experiment. This is somewhat unusual for us, this idea that God would communicate via the feelings. And
well, can I make it easier for you? If we say, if God exists, then it would make sense that God is able to communicate with us in lots of different ways, not just via our feelings.
Right.
But obviously some of the best forms of communication are feelings.
Why?
Because you know instantly what a person is feeling. So, for example, if you had to describe the feeling of anger, what would you say? You'd have to use quite a lot of words, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes.
But if you felt the feeling of anger from a person, you don't need to say anything.
Yes.
You can instantly get the feeling. The beauty of feelings is that they are far more rapidly transmitted than thoughts. And in fact, feelings can be transmitted to far longer distances and also without being constrained by the universe itself. So the reality is that God, who I believe exists outside of the universe itself, can feel our feelings. And therefore this tells me that that feelings are the main method of communication beyond the boundaries of the universe. So this is what I find fascinating about feelings, is that thought, and you will notice this with thought is constrained in terms of its communication. As you can see, you know, you've never communicated, for example, with a person in the second dimension while they've stayed in the second dimension. You've had them come to you, like Rachel is in a dimension much higher than that. She's come to you, she's communicated to you, then you've been able to hear her thoughts, as the saying would go.
Yes.
Which is basically the language of communication, right, in the spirit world.
Yes.
Now, if you think about it, you should be logically able to communicate with Rachel without her standing in front of you and her actually existing in a different dimension. But how would that communication proceed if the thought can't cross the barrier? And what I'm suggesting is certain emotions can cross the barrier that thoughts cannot cross. And in fact, there are many, many people who have been using your method of progression in the spirit world who have gotten to the sixth dimension of the spirit world. And as you can imagine, that's a very beautiful dimension if you think about the comparison of where you've been throughout your life, the lower dimensions of the first, or the lower areas of the first dimension compared to where you are now, the highest area or the high areas of the first dimension. Imagine that there must be some beautiful locations in other dimensions if this is the case. Now, every person who's used your method of progression using the dominance of the intellect has stagnated at the sixth dimension. And the reason why is that unless you learn how to understand emotion, number one, and secondly, unless you learn how to understand that everything's about this connection with God, number two, then there are certain things you'll miss out on in your development, because the development that you're doing is intellectual rather than emotional and intellectual. Once you understand that development in terms of understanding the universe is not just intellectual, but also very, very dependent upon becoming emotionally aware, emotionally intelligent, if you think about it that way, then you will understand that progression can become infinite. So this is something that many people in the spirit world, in the sixth dimension of the spirit world, are still uncertain of, because they don't realise that there is the potential of infinite development into a different creature, in fact, potentially.
So it is as if we have been focusing on entirely the wrong thing.
Well, I wouldn't say you've been focused on entirely the wrong thing, because you have been focused on this quality of integrity. And
yes.
The quality of integrity is a very important quality in your emotional development. And integrity is actually an emotion, a feeling of wanting to maintain justice, a feeling of wanting to maintain an internal state of understanding clearly what is ethically right.
So you're saying that our desire to clarify or heighten our thought and intellectual powers has been driven by a feeling.
By an emotion that's a pure emotion, an emotion or a desire to maintain integrity. And the development of integrity is a very important development.
We didn't see it as a as an emotion,
no.
As more as a thought or aspiration.
But it is a feeling, isn't it? Every time there is a lack of integrity, you feel disappointed in yourself. You feel a lack of clarity and disappointment. Other feelings come up.
Yes.
So this tells me that the feeling is it's not just an intellectual thought of integrity, but rather a feeling driving integrity. And this is what I'm talking about as a feeling that is, to me, a rational feeling. It's very rational for you to seek integrity. It makes sense for you to seek integrity. It makes logical sense to seek the emotion of integrity in all of your dealings with everyone. And so you have already learned, without really realizing, that the development of one particular emotion in a positive direction can lead you down a path of a huge development.
We're very grateful for this discussion.
Mm.
There is much to think of and ponder. And
if I can just encourage you, there are a number of spirits who I could invite now, and I'd like to invite them if I can, to help you with this process of understanding the difference between a logical, if you like, emotion and an illogical emotion, and understanding how to feel emotions, and also understanding relationship with God, like how to actually develop the concept that there might be a God and to experiment with those concepts first. The reason why I suggest you experiment with those concepts first is if there is a God of love, and if that God, it would make sense that that God has all truth, and if it's a God of love, surely he or she or it would want to share truth with you, and therefore it would make more sense to learn truth from that process than it would through a process of self-discovery.
Someone very important has come now.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
how do you know he's important?
Because we have so much respect for him. In fact, we cannot believe that he would come, and we feel a little embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. And who is it?
Albert Einstein.
Mm.
I'm embarrassed to say this. We do not feel worthy of such. And to be honest, we are shocked that he... Shocked and not shocked that he subscribes to this same way of thinking or feeling that you describe.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We cannot express our gratitude. There is now excitement.
Hmm. Can you see how the beauty of desire, of discovery, of a truth can lead you to many gifts? And as a result, you will actually see that even people like Albert and others, they have a desire to assist because they've already received such gifts. They already understand these gifts. And of course it would make sense that if you're a child of God who's received these gifts in this beautiful and overflowing manner, that surely you want to share such gifts with other people who have yet to receive them. So he doesn't see himself as an important person.
Mm.
You honour him because of his intellect.
Yes.
But he has far better things besides his intellect that he'd like to share with you.
Thank you.
And this is another emotion. Allow yourself to feel that. You're allowed to cry too, you see. That's another emotion. This is what I was talking about humility. Humility allows the feeling of every emotion without necessarily acting upon it, you see. If you allow yourself to cry without running away, that is better than deciding to cry but running away.
Mm-hmm.
Because running away would cause you to reject the opportunity that's here. Does that make sense?
It is such a strange sensation that since we commenced our discussion, I now feel like a younger man.
Mm-hmm.
I feel...
Would you like to look in the mirror?
Younger again. I feel more relaxed. I am not concerned with my appearance. It is more the feeling.
But appearance is great because it gives you some feedback. This is why it's good to look at it, because it gives you feedback. This is a rational thought.
Yes.
It makes sense that if you look at the young Albert Einstein in front of you.
Yes.
He doesn't look like the old man he did that you see many of his photos with.
No.
No. So there must be a reason.
And, yes.
Many of you still look not much younger than what you arrived in the spirit world.
No, we've... No, that's right.
So this is another thing to reason upon.
It is true. Now I see myself. I look in my 20s.
And it's just by connecting to this childlike desire you have now to discover more truth and being overwhelmed by the feeling of somebody who you believed was important visiting you to share this truth with you.
Yes, and I feel so much more energy and that I'm able to, more energy to do things.
And notice everything you're describing to me is a feeling.
Yes.
And this is the beauty of feelings, is that it brings you a huge amount of joy and happiness. Thoughts can help you gain a particular amount of happiness, but it's the feelings, when they are real, that will overwhelm you with happiness.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Alfred. Yeah. Please enjoy your conversation with Albert. I've had some with him and I've enjoyed them.
We will. We will go.
Mm-hmm.